Now, in one way or another, we all know this passage from St. Paul, that the law is summed up in, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we're all familiar with that, but I think we sometimes get this one wrong. There's a lot of people who look at this passage and they see that St. Paul is encouraging a sloppy sentimentalism. You know, we all go and give each other big hugs and show how much we love each other, and we gather in a circle and we sway back and forth holding hands as we sing Kumbaya. Well, no. I think you all know me well enough to know that's definitely not what I see this passage is saying. What St. Paul is encouraging us to do is to love our neighbor. It is true. However, what I tell people is you can love your neighbor, but you're not always going to like them. We all are called to love our neighbor. But this love is more than this sentimental feeling. It's a true desire for what's best for the other person because of their dignity as a child of God, to desire what is best for them, what God has called for them. And of course, what is the best that God calls for us? Salvation, to enter into eternal life in heaven, that we should desire their salvation as much as our own, if not more so. Now, sometimes true love, to truly love another person, means to keep them away, warn them away from something that can harm them. An example I always think of are parents who warn their children away from physical things that can cause danger, you know, such as pulling a child's hand away when they're reaching for the hot burner on the stove, or grabbing a knife that a child's about ready to stick into a plug-in, an electrical socket, or worse yet, you know, grabbing a child before the rattlesnake can bite them. Something like that, where the parent is going to actively intervene on behalf of the child to prevent the child from being harmed. Well, in the same way, if we truly love our neighbor and want what's best for them, we are going to warn them away from those things in their lives that will keep them away from salvation, warn them away from the sinful behavior that they may be falling into. Look at the prophet Ezekiel, what God says to the prophet Ezekiel in our first reading today. If I tell the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. But if you warn the wicked, trying to turn him from his way, and he refuses to turn from his way, he shall die for his guilt, but you shall save yourself. Ezekiel was told that he had to proclaim what God wanted for the people of Israel, and that if he refused to warn someone who was in danger, that Ezekiel's own life was at risk, eternal life was at risk. Well, in the same way for us, we are encouraged to help those who are falling into sin, to find a way out of that sin. Now, we don't nag or we don't force. We can't do that. It doesn't work. Forced conversions and nagging does not work to convert someone from sin to following God. But we need to ensure that those who are falling into sin understand the danger they are putting their lives in by falling into this mortal sin, this dangerous sin that leads them away from salvation. Because to really love someone means desiring salvation for them, as I said before. You know, if you remember in the Baltimore Catechism, it says that we are made to know, love, and serve God in this life and spend eternal life with him in the next. Well, if that's what we are made for, if that's our purpose for why life exists, why we exist as humans, then the best that we could wish for is that they fulfill that they fulfill what we were made for. And again, it's not just ourselves. We're called to not only bring ourselves to salvation, but bring others. And as we see from the prophet Ezekiel, that by remaining silent to sinful behaviors, we put our own salvation at risk. What I tell people, and I think what should be our job here on earth as Christians, is not only to enter heaven when we die, but to bring as many people with us as we can so we can have as great a party up in heaven as possible, to have as many of those around us join us for eternal life. So how do we respond to those who are putting their eternal life at risk through sinful behaviors? Well, again, we don't nag. We don't force. But another thing we don't do is we don't gossip about them. We don't talk about them behind their back. And that's a sin that many of us fall into with great regularity, that we should avoid that as much as possible. We go to that person and we talk to them privately and try to convince them always desiring to win them over, as our Lord puts it, but convince them, help them to see how dangerous this sinful behavior truly is. Again, without nagging, without forcing, but trying to help them to see the beauty of what God is calling us to do. And you know, this may take months or even years. This may take many years. It may even take a lifetime. But we're still called to do this. You see, this is admonishing the sinner, doing this where we are encouraging them to leave sin and to follow our Heavenly Father, is a spiritual work of mercy. It's a work of mercy for us. It's a work of mercy for them as well, to lead them back to our Heavenly Father, lead them to salvation. You know, just as a parent loves their child enough to help them avoid the physical dangers of life, we should love our neighbors so much that we're going to help them avoid the spiritual dangers in life.